seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, and the 7th verse. Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul's Epistle of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The dear apostle, in his loving way, so addressed the church at Philippi in this epistle with much love and affection. And in the epistle there are some most gracious exhortations set forth. And in the verse prior to our text, he speaks, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And oh, do we not need to be continually in prayer and supplication? Because there are many dangers in the journey, there are many troubles that prevail and afflictions that attend the child of God. And he firstly warns them, be careful for nothing. And that means they hadn't got to be careless. They got to prayerfully consider every step and every action. They got to be weighed down so much with the things that burdened them and troubled them, but they got to be fervent in prayer, but in everything. He didn't say some things, everything. Some of you may have things that trouble you and concern you and burden you this afternoon, both maybe in your soul or in the pathway. It may be in providence, it may be in the things of grace. But in everything, that means the small things as well as the great. In everything, by prayer and supplication. And then he says, with thanksgiving. We need to ever remember to give the Lord the praise. And it's something one's own heart so often mourns over. We seem so backward in giving the Lord the praise. But what a mercy when the Lord gives us a true heart of praise and of thanksgiving to God. He says, let your requests be made known unto God. Let them all be made known to him. Don't keep anything back. It's like one of the old saints years ago said, one thing I love about the Lord is I can tell him everything. And I thought, how real that is, you know. We can tell him everything. And he understands exactly what we need. But I want us help just briefly to look at this word. It seemed to so rest upon me. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, when the apostle spoke this, he did not mean the natural peace that man would crave for naturally. It's right we should ever strive for peace, and let's just clear that point. First of all, we should ever seek peace. We are told in the Word of God, seek peace and pursue it. It is right we strive for peace and that everything be done in a peaceable way. But what the dear apostle was setting before those at Philippi was this, the great need of God-given peace in our souls. Because that peace that he gives is past all understanding, which passeth all understanding. We cannot begin to describe it. You know, and it's right that we should desire this peace. But who needs this peace? Well, it's those that are troubled, those that are tossed around. You think of the dear disciples when they were in the ship in the sea. There they were, tossed with the waves, battered by the wind, fearing for their lives. And there may be those things in your heart and in your pathway that are making you fear, and you're tossed around. There seems no peace. And for those dear disciples, there seemed no peace, did there? But what did Jesus do? He came to them walking upon the sea. And what did he bring with him? Blessed peace. He stilled the calm of the tumult of the sea and made it a calm. He caused the wind to cease. And oh, what there was, a great calm. There was peace. Oh, there was such peace. And they couldn't describe the difference, could they, of the change. And he had brought it. You see, all real peace flows through a precious Christ. And really, we need to go back into eternity past, where the eternal three, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, ordained that Christ should come and be the peacemaker and bring peace to his dear people through his sufferings, through the shedding of his precious blood, through his glorious death at Calvary. And what was it? To bring peace. To bring peace to troubled, tempest-tossed sinners. We hope to sing later, don't we? This glorious man, thy peace shall be. And it was all ordained in eternity past. But think of God the Father to give. He gave to his beloved Son that peace to bring. And the Holy Spirit conveys it down all these years after the dear Redeemer came into this earth. You know, it's one of the blessed offices of the Holy Spirit to convey from heaven peace into sinners' hearts. And when he brings it, you know, there'll be perfect peace. Oh, there will. You can be in the midst of affliction and amidst of pain and anguish, and yet the Lord bring into our souls that blessed peace. And you can't begin to describe it, can you? And what will that do? It'll lift her out of all the pain, all the anguish, all the affliction. It may still be there, but oh, the peace that fills the sinner's heart. And now I want to look at a few things in God's holy word concerning this. We read in the minor prophets, "This man shall be thy peace." Who was this man whom the prophet was favoured to view? It was none other than the glorious man Christ Jesus. "This man shall be thy peace." It all flows through him, you see. But one thinks of dear Hannah. You know, we often speak of her and the trouble she was walking through, the distress she was in. But what was with me is what the Lord sent Eli to speak to her. And what was it? He sent him with this word: "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him." Go in peace. And may it be so in all the things that may burden you and exercise you and concern you this afternoon, that that may be the message for you to venture on in the journey. You think of dear Hannah, all the weight of sorrow and anguish she'd been in. And then the Lord gives that dear man that wonderful word. He'd only just previously misjudged her completely and thought she was drunken. But the Lord sent him with that message: "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him." And immediately her whole countenance changed, you see, because the Lord was conveying into her soul that peace which passeth all understanding. You see, the natural man and our poor finite minds cannot begin to describe the real peace the Lord conveys into the souls of his dear people. It's known and felt within. Oh, it is. "It passeth all understanding." And you think of the grace and the ability and the wisdom and the godly discernment that was given to the apostle. And with all that, he says, words cannot describe that peace the Lord brings. It passeth all understanding. And dear Hannah was to experience it. And then we think too of the dear woman with the issue of blood. You know, when that issue of blood stanched in the heart, in the body rather, of that dear woman, it all ceased, which had troubled her for 12 years. What did Jesus say to her? "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And she could go from the Saviour in complete peace. Why? Not only because he'd healed the affliction she'd had for 12 years, but in her soul she knew the sweet healing from the festering sores of sin. All that sin that had troubled her and was the cause really of all her affliction had ceased. It was all gone. And oh, the peace. She could well go in peace, couldn't she? And may it be so. And this is what is so with me. There might be those seeking, longing souls that had a venture forth today. Go in peace. And oh, may the Lord whisper that to you. And when he does, poor soul, you'll better go in peace. Whatever step it may be, go in peace. Don't be over troubled by it all. Leave it all in the hands of the Lord, you see, and go in peace. You think even just following on where we left it this morning, really, a real follower of the Lord Jesus. They have many fears of how they will fare in the future and how they will fare in speaking of what the Lord has done for them, and how they will fare walking out that profession they venture to make. But may this be a word in season, you see. Go in peace. That's how you got to go. Go in peace. And what does the apostle say? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, it has a blessed keeping power, this peace. It keeps the soul quiet. It keeps them submissive. It keeps them tender. It keeps them humble. It keeps them near the feet of the dear Redeemer. And you see, those that have been favoured to come into those blessed places will know this peace. Oh, they will. It all flows through Christ. This glorious man, thy peace shall be. And the Lord's a sovereign how he gives this peace, you see. One visit from Zion's King into your poor soul and mine can bring sacred peace. No, it can. Sacred peace. We think of the troubled disciples prior to Jesus going to Calvary when he told them he was going to leave them. Oh, the trouble they felt in their own souls and all that concerned them. You go into John 14 and he says to them, doesn't he? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You see, he goes further with them toward the end of the chapter, doesn't he? And he says this as he's about to leave them. And all the troubles they were in because of it all, the sorrow, the anguish. And what does he say to them? Peace I leave with you. You think how suited that was to their very souls. Peace. Jesus speaking, I leave with you. And he was to leave it with them. And it was to fill their heart, that peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, how suited that was to them, you see. And the peace of God. And this is how he was to leave them, in peace. In peace. It's a wonderful thing, you know, if we go and see maybe a friend or maybe one of the family, to go and to leave them in peace. And what a mercy it is when there's that peace that flows one to the other. And then we think of that glorious day after the resurrection. Oh, I love that sacred chapter. We hope to read a few verses at the Lord's Supper in a moment. But, you know, from that sacred chapter, you know, they were very troubled, the dear disciples, weren't they, because of the Jews and there they were in that upper room, the doors being shut. And we read, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. You see, they feared them. And there were maybe those of you this afternoon that may fear man, or may fear the future, or may fear many things that trouble you, and it may be man. Came Jesus and stood in the midst, the doors being shut. You know, I often feel, it's very sweet, you see, the doors being shut. Everything was shut outside, and they were shut in with the dear Redeemer. Jesus came and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And then we read a very beautiful word. What he did to bring to them the reality of where this peace flowed from. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side, reminding them of the great cost of their salvation, and through that precious blood that was shed from his sacred hands and his side was to flow this peace. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You see, this was a wonderful proof to them. This was the risen Saviour. As they saw those pierced hands and his pierced side. And he shows it to them. And all this peace, you see, that was to flow into their souls. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And one's fervent desire is, with this beautiful word, and I just hinted a few things in it this afternoon, that we might know more and more of this sacred peace among us as a flock, in our souls, in the pathway, and that we might sweetly experience that peace. Because those of us that I hope have had and believe have had a taste of it will know what the dear apostle meant when he said, which passeth all understanding. The poor finite mind of the child of God cannot fathom it all out, nor can the natural man. It is past all understanding. It's so deep, so great, so profound, and the savour of it is the savour of heaven. You see, in glory, in heaven, there's this blessed peace forever. Here we live in a troubled world. We're troubled sinners. We're troubled often in our hearts, aren't we? We're weighed down by sin. But that precious blood of Jesus cleanseth the sinner from all sin, and it brings sacred peace. Some of you may remember that what we hope to sing in a moment, when thou canst no deliverance see, yet still this man, thy peace shall be. When you can see no deliverance or no sign of deliverance, yet still this man, thy peace shall be. And when he ascended into heaven, you see, he was to leave that peace with them. And the Holy Ghost was to sweetly apply it to them. And then he says, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It all flows through the dear Redeemer. And it will keep your hearts. Notice the wording of it. Shall keep your hearts and then and minds through Christ Jesus. And there's so many sweet records in God's word where the Lord has given this sacred peace and how it's kept their minds and their hearts. We think of that beautiful word in the hymn, blessed is the man, O God, whose mind is stayed on thee. And you see, when we have a taste of this peace, that's where the mind of the child of God will be stayed on him. And just two things, and I must leave it, but a personal experience really. When I was so exercised regarding the sacred ordinance of believers' baptism in 1963, and I thought so much about it when this text came. You know, we were haymaking. It was in May. And at the end of May, and I mean, could take you to the very field in Chart Sutton, where the Lord so came in that field to me. He didn't say a word, but he filled my soul with his love, with his goodness, with his mercy, and all the peace. I remember going around that field, turning the hay, and the peace, you know, flowed into my soul. And then those sweet words dropped in. When God gives peace, no man can give trouble. And you know, I looked around, there wasn't a wave of trouble upon my poor heart. Everything was peace. And what did it do? It kept my mind and my heart thinking upon the dear Redeemer. Where this peace flows from. And oh, it passeth all understanding. Naturally, I couldn't comprehend or begin to describe the blessedness of that peace. You know, I've never forgot it. You see, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. It flows through the dear Redeemer. Secondly, when at the Lord's Supper on one occasion, and may it be so today with us each, that peace of Calvary might flow into each of our souls. Through his pardoning love, through his precious sin atoning blood. And who's it that needs it? Poor, black, vile sinners. And the Lord will convey that peace to them. And when he conveys it, you know, you'll be humbled and melted in the dust. And you'll say, Lord, why me? Why such a wretch as I? who must forever lie in hell were not salvation free. You feel so unworthy of a taste of it. Well, may the Lord grant it. You see, it's a taste of heaven begun below. Well, may the Lord bless the word. Amen.